please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading at verse number 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was at Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gibeon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of the ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in the basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Let us pray. Father, again I want to thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Well, thank you for the privilege of preaching this morning. And once again, Lord, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom. Lord, you know the special needs I have in my life, and I ask you for them. And Lord, I certainly ask you, God, to help us honor you today. And Father, glorify thy name and all that is said and all that is done. And Father, help us to uplift you and honor you, Lord, with our words and also from our hearts today. And Lord, should it be that someone here is not saved, has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, oh God, I pray for the salvation of that soul today. And I pray for we as God's children, oh Father, that you would undertake in our behalf and help us. Lord, when we finish here this morning, Lord, we'll be better for you than we've been before. We'll love you more, Lord, and we'll realize how good you are and all that you've done for us. So we ask you to do what needs to be done in each of our hearts. And I will sure remember to praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, Things We Need to Know. Things We Need to Know. There's some things that will help you and I if we just know them and realize them and understand them. I'm going to begin with probably one of the most probably negative statements that I'll even make here. This morning, I'm going to begin with a negative point. First of all, we find that Israel was in captivity. And the reason they were in captivity is because of their disobedience to God. Now, I know that's true because the Bible tells me that's true. I did not read verse number 10, but the Bible tells us, in fact, I'll read verse number 1 of chapter 6, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. Now we find here was Israel being delivered into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. Now the reason they was delivered, we know according to the Bible, is in verse number 10, and said unto you, I am the Lord your God, Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Now we know, the Bible says, the reason they were under the bondage in captivity with the Midianites was because they did not obey God. Now I think you agree with that. I think you'll see that that's what the Bible says. And we find that God sent unto them a prophet of God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that portion of Scripture. That's a whole nother message. But right before that, up in verse number 8, he says the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. And he began to prophesy unto them and let them know that the reason they were in bondage and they were having the troubles that they was having was because they disobeyed God. Now that we want to start our message with. That's why they are there. And they are there because of disobedience. Now, we need to understand that God never honors disobedience. Now, I mean, as a child of God this morning, if you're here as God's child, won't you say amen to that? I mean, we serve a wonderful God, a wonderful loving God who loves us, but he'll never honor or bless disobedience. Now, we know that. And he certainly showed that here with Israel, and the principle of that carries over into our life also. So one of the things we need to know is that if we're in bondage or we're where we ought not to be and there's things happening in our life that should not be happening in our life, it just may be that because we're disobedient to the Lord, God is teaching us and trying to get us to come back unto him, because that's what he did to the Israelites. He brought them into bondage so that they would come back unto him and cry out to him. And in that portion of Scripture that we did not read, the first 10 verses, that's what the Bible says they did. The Bible says they cried unto the Lord. They prayed unto the Lord, and because of that, God sent them a prophet and told them the reason why they was in bondage. Now, one of the things, the first thing that we really need to know is this. In verse number 12, said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. I don't know. It's not just a message this morning just for someone who's being called into God's service. Certainly is not that. Because the truth that I'm going to give to you this morning is truth for every single child of God. But let me say to you that God was getting ready to call Gideon here into the service of the Lord for a very special purpose. And that was of the delivering of Israel. The one thing that he wanted him to know above everything else was that God was with him. And I want to just say to you and me this morning, the one thing, folks, that we need to know that God is with us. And you got that down. You realize and understand that. That's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. You can go through life and handle things that you can never handle before if you just know God's with you. You just know he's with you. He's there, and he's there to undertake for you. And you've seen him do it many multitudes of times. You've seen God intervene in your life and do things for you that no one else could have ever done. Well, the one thing we need to know is that God is with us. Another thing we need to know is, and you'll look at verse number 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. He talked about the miracles that they did not know anything of. They'd been told by their fathers that there was miracles, and miracles was happening, how God brought them up from Egypt and done all those wonderful things for them. But this generation had not seen the miracles of God. They had not seen that. They'd only heard about it with their ear. Now, what I want you to know is this. There's something you and I need to know. God is still providing miracles. And God is doing that today. God is able, and he still does wonderful miracles. They may not be miracles what you and I would call miracles, but they are miracles. They're not maybe fire coming down from heaven, but let me say to you, they are miracles in people's lives today. Let me assure you of something. Every home represented here today needs to understand and needs to see the miracles of God going on in their home. They need to witness to that, And they need to have the heads of that home saying unto their children and to their families, look what God did for us. So that they'll grow up understanding that they was in the midst of a family where God worked. Now you and I need to do that. Our families need that as they grow up, of seeing God do marvelous things, of seeing God providing the needs of your life. Men, when you come home on Friday or whenever it is you might get paid, and you bring that paycheck home and whatever you do with it, but the mother more than likely, if it's like most homes, goes and purchases groceries and things like that for the coming week or however you might do it. But it's a wonderful thing to realize and say to the children and to the family, look what God done for us. God provided this for us this week. God took care of us. And your children then will grow up never forgetting God did something in that family. God was constantly providing for you in miraculous ways. And when God does things and provides for needs in a very special way, oh, it's a right thing to say in the presence of your whole family, look what God did for us. Look on God, how He provided for us and what He did for us. And those children of yours and that family will grow up with grateful hearts, realizing and understanding that God was moving in the midst of your family. There's times when God heals sicknesses, sometimes very serious sicknesses. Sometimes it may not be as serious as sickness, but God heals those sicknesses. We ought to never, ever, ever let that go by without praising God for it and saying to our family, look what God did for us. Isn't God good to us? You see, we need to know, we need to understand God's still doing those things, amen, in our families today. When one of the family members gets saved, oh, you ought to make a big deal of that and say, look how God saved sister or brother or mom or dad or somebody got saved. Look what God done for us and saved that soul. We ought to just constantly let it be known what God did for us. Amen. He's still providing miracles and He's still changing lives. You know, when we see family members' lives changed, oh, it's good to tell people about it and say within our own family, look what God done for Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so or Grandma or Grandpa or nephew or niece or son or daughter or mom or dad or whoever it might be. Look what God done. God has literally changed that life. And I say to you again, if we'd get on that side of it and begin to thank God and realize what miracles He's doing still today, we won't look and say, well, you know, I remember mom and dad talking about how, you know, God done wonderful things for them, but I don't remember them. Oh, we ought not to be that way, because God is constantly doing things for us in our homes, in our families, and we ought to always let it be knowing how good God is. We ought to do that same thing in our churches. We ought to always remember that God is doing wonderful things. Anytime we see an individual walk an aisle or come up from a children's church or Sunday school class or off of a bus route or whatever it might be, your pastor tries to do this. I'm not saying I do it good, but I try to do that. Always try to honor the Lord a lot of times in the evening services and say how good God's been to us and He saved a soul and got to see somebody baptized and all these things, you know, because God is good and He's still providing miracles, folks. And we ought to, these children here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, these young people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, ought to grow up in a church where there's people getting saved. And they're witnessing that and they're seeing that. And I don't want it to ever to become routine to them, but you know, it just becomes a thing you just can't expect. You know why? Because the blessings of God are just here and God is doing those things. I think the week that I was gone in our youth revival, I know there were 7 baptized because I filled out the 7 baptismal certificates. I know how many there was. I sat there, my arm was getting tired doing all that writing, you know. But I was rejoicing all the time and saying, thank you, Lord, for that, you know. And others got saved. I can't remember the number, but it seemed like it was 16. Am I saying close? 20 got saved over our youth revival time. Oh, folks, don't take that lightly. Oh, say thank you, Lord, for letting us see that, be a part of it, you see. And you young people, you remember Youth Revival 1999. Think back to that and remember of the folk that got saved and those that got baptized. And don't forget that, you see, because that's the way it ought to be. You ought to grow up seeing people saved. And also we ought to always see lives literally changed. I'm so thankful that when people get saved, you know, and all at once you see them, they start coming to church. Maybe sometimes they'll start maybe just Sunday morning, you know, and here they come to church. And pretty soon you look around and you see them Sunday night and you know, and maybe Wednesday night, you know, you see them and you see them doing things for the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I just rejoice in that. I just thank God for it. I don't like to embarrass people, but I've had him on my heart this week. And I was thinking how grateful I am for Ron Allen. Ron, I'm so grateful for you. I mean that bottom of my heart. I just love you to death. I mean, I love everybody gets saved. I mean that with all my heart. But I think of where Ron had to come from and all he had to fight and all he had. I tell you what, that's a miracle of God. And it isn't just Ron Allen, but that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to see lives changed. When God does something and saves a soul, you see them growing in the Lord and lives begin to change. That's what it's all about. And you know what, young people, you're seeing that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm not saying we're seeing it as much as we ought. I'm not saying that we're perfect. We got a long way to go, but I'm saying you need to see that. And it's right for you to remember miracles happened in this place. And thank God for that, you see. And then, of course, how God provides the needs here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Oh, I marvel at how good God is and how He's provided needs. Did you see the new bus this morning? Hey, did everybody see a new bus? We started our Shelburne Route bus, and men and women worked together in getting that thing ready and sanded and painted and taken care of, and it's sitting out here looking so pretty here this morning, you know, and God did that for us. Amen. And Brother Scott and Sister Jamie is taking the bus route, and they had 22, I believe it was, 22 on it this morning, you know. First time they run the bus. They run the van the last week, but they had 22 on that bus. You ought to remember that's a miracle of God, and you ought never forget it. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. And as God provides buses for us and those kind of things, you see, we're in the business now kind of updating all of our buses and getting them painted and getting the new ones new and the ones that we can, you know, and all that. And we ought never forget what God is doing here. It is a miracle of God, you see, what He's doing. And so He's still doing those miracles. And not only that, and I know I mentioned it earlier, but this building project, the building on. You know, one of the things that's been on my heart so much is the generation. You see, all these buildings was built for most of you, some of you was born. And you don't know anything about building programs. And I'm just simply saying that, not to look down on you. I'm just saying, you know what I felt? You need to know. And I'm thrilled to death that God's going to let us build on Sunday school rooms, because you young people are going to be a part of that. You young couples that never got in on the other are going to be a part of that. And you're going to see God do something right here and magnify Himself through this. That's why I'm saying we can't let that thing drag out. God don't do that. We're going to see God magnified, how great God is and what He's going to do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you young people need to see that. You need to see that building project go on. You need to see as the floor is poured and the walls are poured or laid or whatever we do on that, and then as it goes up and gets the roof on it and all those things and those Sunday school classes begin to get finished. You need to see that. And you need to never forget that God is still doing miracles and wonderful things here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You see, those are marvelous things. And we just got to remember that God is doing those things. Don't ever forget God is doing those things. And let's magnify His wonderful name because of it. And all the other ministries that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we have a lot of diversified ministries here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And it's because God has done it. We've got people here that's willing to get into the ministries and work and do and serve. That's why we have them here. But it's because God has done it. Amen. So again, I'm simply saying to you folks, God's still providing miracles. God's still doing them. Don't let it be that you're going to look back and remember Grandma and Grandpa's miracle. Remember your own. Remember what you're seeing and seeing God do some marvelous things as you grow up here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So we need to know that God is still performing miracles. Not only that, we need to know that God's strength It's God's strength and not our own strength. I want you to look at verse number 14, please. It said that the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. Have not I sent thee?" You notice there, he said, "I'm going to deliver you. You go, Gideon, you go, we're going to deliver you. But it's I that sent you." In other words, he was saying, it's I that's going to provide the strength. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do it. And I'm saying to you, that's something we can never forget here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's God's strength, not ours. And I want you young people to remember down the road. Sure, you'll probably remember who the pastor was. You remember who the deacons are. And you remember who the assistant pastor was and all these kind of things. And that's good to remember those things. But I want you to remember it's God that done it. As you see these wonderful things go on, you see buses put on the road and boys and girls brought in, buildings built and all kinds of things. I want you to remember, it was God's strength that done it. Oh, don't ever forget that. Amen? Don't ever forget that. Look what God did, and God did it through His strength, not our strength. Couldn't be done if we depended upon our strength. It's just like he said to Gideon, he said, "You go and you go do this and you get it accomplished." He said, "I've sent you." In other words, he said, I'm the one that's got the power to do it. I'm the one that's going to be behind you. I'm the one that's going to see that it gets done. But you go and accomplish it. Amen. So let us never forget it's God's strength and not ours. And then also in verse number 15 and 16, he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Another thing I want you to remember is here was Gideon feeling like he was the least of the tribes, the least in his family's house. He just didn't feel like he was anything, that he could do anything. I want you to know that's the kind of folk that God's looking for. I want you to know you don't have to be a big shot to serve God. I want you to remember, no matter what kind of talents it is that you have, God can use you. And God wants to use you. He uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Amen. And I just want you to know, I don't care who you are out there. You may look and you say, "I don't have any talents and I come from a poor family." That's what Gideon said. "I come from the least of the family." That's what Gideon said. And God said, "I want to use you. I want to pick you out and I want to use you." Boy, that's a marvelous thing. And I don't want you, any of you, to ever forget that God wants to use you no matter who you are. God will use you. He uses the weak things so that He can receive the glory and the honor for it. Amen? You notice preachers a lot of times that are called into the ministry. Now, God calls all kinds of preachers, but you'll notice a lot of times when He calls a preacher into ministry, it ain't somebody that's all smart and has all these abilities. It's just someone who's yielded. Yeah, you know why? God gets the glory for it then. No doubt about it. God gets the glory for it. And that's the way it ought to be, you see. We got to realize that God uses the weak and gives them strength so they can be strong. So don't ever be discouraged and say, "Oh, God couldn't use me." Oh, yes, God can use you. Amen. And God will use you. Don't make any difference who you are, what you do, what your job is, or what family you come out of. It doesn't make any difference. Any of that doesn't make any difference. It's just you yield yourself to God and God can use you. Amen. That's a marvelous thing. And then not only that, we see in verse number 18, I'll read again there. He says, "Depart not thence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephod of flour and flesh he put in the basket. And he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. There rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight." I want to tell you, God here, the thing that you and I need to know is that God still expects sacrifice. Now, not the kind of sacrifice here. That was done on Calvary. That was all taken care of. But God still expects sacrifice from His people. I've watched this thing down through the years. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in other people's lives. God blesses those who sacrifice. That's who He blesses. And that's what He uses to the glory of God. God still is looking for people willing to sacrifice to the glory of God. And those are the ones that God is going to use, and those are the ones that God's going to get the glory from it. So God still expects it. Young people, don't expect to go out and serve God, whatever capacity it might be. No any difference what it might be. Don't ever expect to go out and serve God and get anything done for God if you're not willing to sacrifice. Because you've got to learn to sacrifice. You've got to learn to give of yourself, you see. And be willing to give of yourself for the glory of God. That's the way God gets things done. And He still expects sacrifice from His people. Now, not only that, God still must be worshipped. Look in verse number 24. It says, "And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom, which this day is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezerites." If you notice there, they went and they built an altar unto the Lord. Again, I want to stress to you, we need to know that God Almighty still needs to be worshipped. And we can never, ever, ever let that go. We can never, ever stop worshiping our wonderful God. God is still looking for someone to worship Him, looking for His people to worship Him, to give Him the glory and the honor and the praise. That's why your pastor stresses this constantly. When we come into these services, let's don't come in with a bitter heart. Let's come in with a heart of worship unto God Almighty. That's what it's all about. God is looking for people to worship Him and honor Him. And we ought to come to every service we come to with a heart that says, "God, You're great and You're wonderful and You're good. And we come here to give You the honor and the glory today and worship Thy blessed name." God still expects worship from His people. Not only that, in verse number 25, he says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it." Now, once again, God expects us to turn from false worship and false things and false idols. Gideon's father was a Baal worshiper. And God said to Gideon, He said, "You go tear down that altar to Baal, and you get rid of it, and you burn it." And what I'm saying to you is that when people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they worship the true and living God, you got to get rid of your old idols. You turn from the old idols, and you turn to the true and the living God. It's time that we here in America understood that. There's a lot of idols out there in America. I mean, they're everywhere. We have so many material goods in America that we're using them as idols and don't even realize it. We're worshiping them. Multitudes of people this morning have fell down before their idols. Oh, not literally went down on their knees, but they fell down on their knees before their idol because they're giving their life to those things out there in this world instead of to the true and living God. And I'm saying God expects us to turn from idols to the true and the living God. Put the old life behind and put the new in front. Become a new creature in Christ. Why? Because you're born again. I spoke with a person this coming week, and we was dealing with him, talking with him, and this person had received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They made a profession of faith, and I said to them, I said, "You know, when you get saved," I said, because they was telling me how it's hard for them to, you know, get here and there and can't get to church like they should, and I said, "You know, that's not even a question. That should not even enter into it. You know why? Because you're now a child of God. You're different. You're a new creature. You're not the old creature, you're a new creature. It's different now. Have no right to make excuses. Why? Because we're God's child now. We turn from the old ways. We give our heart to the Lord, you see. And we've got a lot of that in America, that type of thinking, you know. Well, I want to get saved, but, you know, I've got all these other things to do, you know, just like I did before I got saved. No, 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 no. You lay those things aside. You go burn them. You go burn those altars of Baal. You get rid of those and you turn to the true and the living God and you begin to serve Him, you see. So God still expects us to turn from the world and turn to God. And not only that, look in verse number 27 through 30. "Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the groves was cut down, and was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. I want you, we need to know also that God is going to allow opposition to your faith. And that opposition is going to come from right amongst those whom you live. These people lived right there. They knew Gideon. They knew his daddy. They got up and the altar of Baal was destroyed. And they said, Who done this? They said, Gideon done it. They said, Let's kill him. Now what I'm saying is you're going to receive opposition not only from those around you but many times within your own family. You've just got to learn that faith in Christ is more important. I'm not talking about treating your family unkindly. I'm not telling boys and girls to go home and don't obey your mom and dad. You are to obey your mom and dad because God said for you to do that. But you've got to remember you've got to love the true and the living God. And God expects us to do that, and He puts opposition to our faith to strengthen our faith. One of the first things God did for Donna and I was our closest friends. I mean, they was our closest friends. We spent time with them, a lot of time with them. Every weekend practically was spent with them. They was our close friends, and when we got saved, that was one of the most difficult, hard things because we didn't go telling them that we didn't want any more to do with them. We didn't do that. We still started meeting, but there were certain things then that we couldn't do that we used to. And we stopped doing those things, and pretty soon they didn't want anything to do with us. I'm just simply saying to you, there's going to be opposition come to your faith in Christ. Don't let that throw you. It can come right in the midst of your own family. There may be people in your own family who will despise you because you've turned to Christ and you've decided that God's way is the right way and you're going to walk God's way. And opposition absolutely is going to come your way. God allows that to strengthen your faith. You'd be surprised, and I could tell you story after story. You could tell me story after story. But after I got saved, the times that God allowed those right around me to treat me in all kinds of ways and ridicule me because of my faith in Christ. But He did that to strengthen me and to put some backbone in me where I'd stand up for Him. And He's doing the same thing for you. And He did the same thing for Gideon. So don't be discouraged when those around you don't treat you like you think they ought to treat you because now you're a Christian. Don't be discouraged at that. Just stand for God and love Him and go on for God no matter what happens. You just need to get a hold of that. You need to know that. Amen? And then not only that, in verse number 33, verse 34, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. I want you to know one other thing you need to know is it is going to be God's power that is going to win the victory. The battle out there that we are waging is too great for you and I. And the Bible even talks about here in verse 33 that the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together. Well, they were everywhere. They was too powerful for Gideon. And yet God said, the Bible said that the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. What I want you to understand is that battle is out there. You're going to fight it. You're going to have to face it. You're going to have to face the world's opposition. But God's Spirit, God's power, is the power that will overcome and win the battle. And I'm saying to you, He'll do it for you, He'll do it for me, He'll do it for every individual in this room. You can take a stand, young people. You certainly can do it, because God be with you. You can do that, young couples out here. You can take a stand for God. Yes, you can. And God will help you if you're willing to do that. God's power will win the battle. We older folk, God's still helping us. Amen. Many of us have stood for God for many years, and you know what? It's still Him that's winning the battle, that's winning the victory. And let me say to you, there's all kinds of battles out there. They're raging. They're everywhere. Young people go to school and they're ridiculed because they're a Christian. Many times because of that, they don't say anything about themselves being a Christian. They keep it quiet. I'm saying to you, God wants to be your strength. God wants to be your help. God will help you. I don't care how big the armies look. I don't care how many Midianites they are and Ammonites they are. I don't care how many armies they are. God will help you. Amen. He'll still do it. He's still winning victories. So we need to know those things as we face this Christian life. It's rough out there when I say that. Yeah, it's tough out there. But you know, it's nothing with God on our side. And it's nothing that others haven't done before us. Many multitudes have faced worse than we'll ever think about facing. Let's just stand for God. Amen. Let's don't get out of the will of God. Let's make sure that if we're out of the will of God, we're not doing right, we were under bondage, let's make sure that we get back where we're supposed to be and just live for God. Amen. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. Let's do it for God. Amen. Now, if you're here without Jesus today, you're here without Him. He loves you so much. Did you know that you can know today for sure that you're 100% sure that you can go to heaven? Did you know that? Did you know that this preacher knows that today because of a decision he made back in 1966? I know I'm going to heaven not because I deserve to, but because I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior back in 1966. Did you know that right here today, in April of 1999, you can be sure of heaven and know for sure that you're going to go to heaven because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you? Did you know that? That's what God wants to do. He done it then. He's done it for years. He's doing the same thing today. If you're here without Jesus and you're not saved, you say, I don't know if I died whether I go to heaven or not. Oh, God wants to save you. God wants to give you eternal life. Amen. And Christian, if there's a need in your life today, you need to be strengthened in the Lord. You come to the Lord. Come to an altar prayer and get alone with the Lord as we pray. Right before I pray, as you bow your heads, close your eyes, please. Bow your heads and close your eyes. You say, Brother Ross, I'm here today and I'm a Christian and I know for sure if I died, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure if I died today. I'm just not sure I'd go to heaven. I don't know for sure that I've ever received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Would you say, Brother Ross, would you just raise your hand so that I might pray for you? I won't call your name out. Say, just pray for you. Anyone here? Anyone here? Say, Brother Ross, I need to know some of them things this morning. I need to know that God was with me. I'm going through some tough and difficult times, and I need to trust in God and let Him help me this morning. Is there a special need that you have in your heart, and God's met that need this morning? Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much. Others? Any others, please? Thank you so much. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank and praise You for Your goodness and Your kindness and Your wonderful grace. And we want to thank You for who You are and how great You are and how wonderful You are. And Lord, we sure do need You today. We ask You, Lord, to help us. Lord, as we just live this Christian life, we need Your help. We need Your power. We need You doing those things for us and through us. And now, Father, should there be any here without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're not sure they're saved. And Lord, that You'd be able to work upon their heart and convict them of their sin. And Lord, that they might be saved today. I pray for them and ask You to have Your will done in everything here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.